is what you base your actions on. And so we've based this challenge on this 50 days on this scripture right here, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and Mr. memorizing Romans 12, 2. It'll show up on the screen in just a minute. And we're going to memorize Romans 12, 2. So how many are doing pretty good with it? I see a few hands go up. So you know what we're going to do today? We're going to practice. All right, we're going to learn God's Word. We're going to store God's Word in our heart, all right? And you remember how we do this, and I'll mess it up again. I know what I'm saying. You know what you say, then what you do is two different things. Anybody had that battle? You know? We say the reference, the address, Romans 12, 2. We quote the verse, and then we say the reference and the address again. And so we're going to say this verse again, and if you're with us, we say it out loud, okay? I want to hear you. If I don't hear you, we do it again. And I do it again till I hear you, okay? And so I'll go 1, 2, 3, Romans. You guys ready? All right, 1, 2, 3, Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. I don't know why I can't get that. I tell you that I just mess it up. All right. But I want that verse settles in with us. If I change the way, it will change the way I feel, and I will behave totally different. I'm going to transform my actions by transforming the way I feel, beginning with the way I think. Does that all make sense to you? And we're going to concentrate on that. We're going to spend some time on that. And so we're going to have some fun. Because here's the challenge. I want you, and we did a verse a while ago that says, I want you to be brighter and more beautiful. See, we go through life and there's sometimes some emptiness, some failure in life, some discouragement in life. We go through life, and I want to transform. I wrote these kind of phrases. I want to transform failure to victory, defeat to faith, insecurity to courage. I want to transform this emptiness and this loneliness to a joy and a peace. Anybody want to transform their lives? I want to change. I want something different. And this morning, we're beginning our first one of 7 topics we're going to work on transforming. And I ask you to bring your books. Some of you got your books. If you don't have your book and you want to be a part, there's books out in the lobby. I'll talk about how to join a group at the end. But there's books in the lobby. You can follow along. There's 50 days worth of devotionals, a Bible study we're participating in. It's all right here in one book. Memory verses to learn. It's all right here. You can pick one up on the way out and join us on this journey. And I these 7 areas of life, and we're going to talk about, there's that spiritual health. You have a physical health, emotional health, mental health, relationship health, vocational health, financial health. We're going to talk about how do we transform these areas in our life to be more healthy and to live more. And so this morning is our first one. Last week we had a kickoff, and we talked about setting goals. Well, this morning is the first one. It's called spiritual health. And so I want to begin by just thinking about how do you get close to God? How do we draw close to God? How do we get near God? Maybe how do we get back to God? You're sitting here this morning, most of you want to know God, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You know, maybe some of you kids were dragged here. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. That might not go over well. Some of you were probably dragged here. But most of you come to church because you want to get closer to God. Anybody on board with that? You know, you want to experience God. You want to feel God. You want to know God. And maybe there was a time when it was a little bit better than today. Maybe there was a time you felt closer to God. Maybe there's a time when you felt right there with you in every day of your life, and God was in the midst of all that was going on in your life, and you feel, how do we get back to that feeling? How do I come back to that experience? You know? And maybe you've never been there. And maybe you've heard all the talk, and you know all these crazy Christians and intolerant and hypocritical, but yet you're checking it out. You know, it's like I need to know more about this God. You know, and so how do we get there? How do we deal? You know, and so I'm kind of basing it on this verse right here, Isaiah 53:6. I'm going to encourage you to get your outline out. There's some blanks to fill in, and we'll just have a good time with it. It says this: we all have wandered away like sheep. Each of us has gone his own way. But the Lord has put on him the punishment for all the evil we have done. He's talking about Jesus there, that last part of that sentence there. But that first part, we have all wandered away like sheep. You know? And sheep, I hate to say, you know, it's kind of embarrassing. God uses the analogy of his followers are like sheep, and sheep are one of the dumbest animals in the world. You know, sheep, they just wander around. They'll even wander into the den of wolves, won't even think about it. You know, just, there they go. You know? But the truth is, we're like that. We just kind of wander through life. You know, we get pushed around by, anybody getting pushed around by life? Your chances? Your situation, your family, school, whatever. We get pushed around by life. And that's just kind of natural. And so Jesus said, we're like sheep that's just kind of gone astray. And so here's what I looked at this morning as I was thinking about the message this morning. As a kid, I grew up next to a mall. I watched them build Florence Center Mall. Tells you how old I am. I watched them build a mall at Sacramento where I grew up. And I watched them build a mall. And we'd go over there all the time because it was just around the corner. We'd walk over. And we'd go to Penny's. Anybody remember Penny's? And we would run up the down escalator. Anybody? You know? You go to the mall and you watch, making sure nobody's coming down. Then you want to get up. You got to get up all the way to the top. My brothers and I would race up the down escalator. You know? And the problem would be when somebody stepped on that escalator, guess what? Oh, crap. You just stand there and wait and get off. Well, that's kind of like life. Here's my point. Life is an escalator. I'm on an escalator going up to heaven. Anybody? And if I stop, I don't stay in one place, do I? I go backwards. We're in our relationship with God. Sometimes we just kind of throw it in neutral. Anybody ever throw that? You know, you just kind of push pause. I'm just going to pause for a minute in my walk with God. I'm just going to pause for a minute going to church. I'm just going to pause and not go to Bible study. I'm just going to pause in prayers. I'm going to pause. What happens when you pause? You go backwards, don't you? It's not like I'm staying in the same place. I got a DVR at home, and I push pause on that DVR. You know what it does when I push start again? It's backed up 3 or 4 seconds. Anybody have one DVR that does that? Well, that's kind of like life. And so this morning, I want us to think about, how's that relationship with God? Maybe I've never had one. Maybe I had one, but it's been a year, and it's just been kind of a distant. You know, it's been a year, you know, maybe, you know. Or maybe it's just been a week, and it's just been a week from hell for you. And it's like, man, you know, I just didn't feel God at all this week. You know, I didn't see God. My life was, you know, school, work, kids. Family, you know, and I want to say, how do we get back to God? How do I get back to that feeling? Can you remember that time when you had that feeling that just there's just something there that you felt he was just right there every time you turned around, God was there? How do we have that feeling? How do we get back to that feeling? Or how do you even start that feeling to where God is at? And what's good about the story here is there's a story in the Bible that tells us how. Jesus tells a story of a father and a son. And it's really the story's about a father, but we call it the prodigal son. And it's a story about a son who came to his father and said, I want everything. I want what's due me. Give me my inheritance now. So I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 15. I got a little paper here that I've printed it on. I'm going to read this to you. I want you to listen to this story and see if it might sound like a walk with God. To further illustrate this point, he, being Jesus, told them this story. A man had two sons. When the younger told his father, I want my share of your estate now, instead of waiting until you die, his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this young son packed all his belongings, took a trip to a distant land, and there wasted all his money on parties and prostitutes. About the time his money was gone, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed pigs. The boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the swine looked good to him. And no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired men have food enough and to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against you, against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired hand. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him and was filled with joy, loving pity, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you, and I am not worthy of being your son. But his father said to them, to the slaves, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, and put on him and a jeweled ring on his finger and shoes, and kill the calf we have in the fattening pen. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and was returned to life. He was lost and he is found. So the party began. You see a son who comes to dad and says, Dad, you're not dying quick enough. Isn't that what he said? Dad, you're not dead yet, but I want what's mine. Give me my share of this inheritance. His dad gives him his money, gives him his share of inheritance, and you read the story, and he goes off into town. You know, maybe we can say he packed his bags and went to South 9th Street of Jerusalem. I don't know. You know, just to the wrong part of town. And he partied hardy, and he had a great time, enjoyed himself. And then all of a sudden his money runs out. And what happens when the money runs out? Where do your friends go? Anybody? You know, the money runs out and the friends run off. Isn't that how it usually goes? His money runs out, his friends run off. He has nothing. And he's a Jewish boy who ends up slopping pigs. Now, you know what Jews think about pigs, right? They don't have anything to do with pigs. And now he's thinking pig food looks good. I don't know about you, but I've seen pig slopping. I'm not going to eat it. You know, and you see this story of this young man who I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to live my choices. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want. I'm living my life for me. What I think best, what I think's well, I'm going to pursue my dreams, and this is what I'm going to do. And he goes off and wastes his life, and he ends up empty, and he ends up losing all of this. But he realizes, listen, at home, even the slaves get plenty of food to eat. They even have extra. I have nothing. And he begins to process what's going on. And so he decides to go home. Dad receives him, and we see this picture of dad who sees his son a long ways off and brings his son into the house. I want us to think about that this morning. I think there's four things in this story that help us draw close to God. Because see, the picture about this story is not about the son. The picture in this story is about the father and the love the father had for his son. A father, you know, it takes love to give your son everything that he deserves, doesn't it? You know, it's like you know better. You know, love to see his son afar off and receiving back. See, it's a story about a father who's waiting to receive. And I want us to think about it in those terms today. That God loves us and God cares for us. God planned to prosper us and to give us a wonderful life. But yet we wander away. We just kind of drift off. We get busy with things in our own life and doing things our own way. Doing the things we think is best and our own dreams and our own visions. And we just kind of drift around, and all of a sudden we're looking around, and where's God? Where's God? So there's four things I want you to note in this story here that helps us get close to things that brings us back to God. The first one, I put it this way. You got to get fed up with your life. You got to get fed up with your life. I want you to, you look at this young man, and you look at what's going on in his life, and it's like all of a sudden, it's like, I'm tired of life. Anybody get tired of life? I'm tired of the way things are. I'm tired of just going to work and just every day the same thing. I'm just tired of life. I'm stressed out. I'm lonely. I'm empty. I'm depressed. I'm frustrated. I'm overwhelmed. Anybody have all those feelings? Life. It's just life. And you ever just get fed up with life? I'm just tired of life. And you're frustrated with life, and it just all these battles and all the struggles, and you know, it's like, I'm done. Why do I got to keep going through this day after day and week after week? And Then it's a year before, and you're going, the year was going to change. Anybody, you know, it's like 16 is over, and you're going, man, I thought it was going to be a different year, and I'd be different. And you're still fighting the same battle you fought when you started 2016. Anybody been in that boat? You know, you got to get fed up with life. You're not going to change until you're fed up. Did you know that? You're not going to make anything in your life. You're not going to change anything in your life until you're said, I'm tired of this, and it's going to be different. I'm drawing the line in the sand, and I'm going to change. It's different. That's when you're going to transform, right? You know, until you're fed up. That passage, it's Luke 15, 17. When he finally came to his senses, I circled that. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired men have food enough and to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. Anybody? Tired of my job? I hate to say this one. How about tired of your marriage? Fed up with your spouse? You know, frustrated with life, finances out of control. I'm just fed up. If you're not going to change until you're fed up, until you reach that point where you say, I'm done, I've had enough, it's got to change. If it doesn't change. And so I want to make sure you see that picture. You got to reach that point where you're fed up, it's over, it's done, I'm quitting. It's not the same anymore. And I want to get you fed up. Are you just satisfied with life? I'm just going to go through life. It's not what I want. It's not where I want to be. But you know what? It's just my lot in life. I'm just going to go on tomorrow morning. Nobody cares. Anybody ever feel like that? You know, you got to get fed up with it. You got to change. But you're not going to change until you said, I'm tired. I'm fed up. I'm done. And you reach that point. And so here's this other passage over in Jeremiah. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. See, I'm going to ask you, what do you want more than God? You got to get fed up. Success. When I was at that conference and I heard the guy say, you know what I want the most? They did a survey in high school of teenagers of what their goal was in life. Now, I grew up, you know what the goals in life, you know, fireman, right? Anybody want to be a fireman when you're growing up? You know, you want to be a policeman when you grow up? You want to be something. You know what the teenagers wanted today? The number one thing teenagers said they wanted? Fame. Fame goes back to, hey, how many followers do you have on? How many friends do you have? And my Twitter account and my Facebook friends. And where are we? Come to your senses. Think about it. Remember what we're saying? You got to change how you think. It will change how you feel. It will change how you act. But you got to get fed up with life. Are you fed up? Or are you just, I'm here, I'll get through this. I want to challenge you to get fed up. Fed up. Second point, as I read that story, I put it this way. Own up to your sin. You got to own up to your sin. This young man ran off. Partied in prostitutes. That's how he spent his money. That's how he spent his life. He just pursued his dreams, his way, his vision. I've got it. I'm going to live life to the fullest. I'm going to live life that the world offers. I'm going to party on and party my life away. And look again, it goes like this. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself at home, even the hired men have food enough and to spare, and I'm dying of hunger. And then listen, I will go home to my father's house. Father saying, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and earth. I've sinned. God, it's senseless. God, life with you is just, it's just not the same, God. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. It's not the best thing, God. I got to own up to the fact that I'm messed up. Anybody? You got to own up to being messed up. And I got news for you. You're sitting here this morning. I'm going to offend you right off the bat, okay? This preacher's going to offend you. You are messed up. All right? I'm just going to tell you are. You know, you might disagree with me, but when you go home and you talk to your spouse, you're messed up. Your spouse will tell you how you're messed up. They'll help you figure it out, all right? If you, you know, your kids will help you figure it out, all right? Your kids will tell you, yeah, Dad, you're messed up, you know? And, you know, we all are. I mean, and we got to own up to that. I tell people all the time, you know who I struggle with the most? I'm a pastor. I struggle most with preachers. I think some preachers know what I'm talking about. But you know the one thing? I'm willing to say, I'm a jerk. Some of you guys are going, yeah, I know. We've seen you. You know? I can be a jerk. You know? I make my mind up and I ain't budging. You know? Ask my wife. She'll tell you I'm always right 99.9% of the time. You know? Because when I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, but I'm right being wrong. You know? I never make a mistake. We got to own up to the fact that we are by nature sinful. I'm writing a series. Just so you know, when this series ends, I'm writing a sermon on an interview with the devil. I'm gonna have some fun. I got four sermons on interview with the devil. Because I think I look at our world, and if we just treat everybody right, everybody would be nice. I'm going to tell you, inside me, inside Gary, there's sin. Somebody posted on Facebook about driving. He said, this reminds me of Gary. The truth is, it does. You know, we have these natures in us. Anybody got a nature? You know? And we know better. And so what I'm saying is, you got to get fed up with life. I'm tired of this, but you got to come back and say, man, I got to own up. It's my fault. Now, those who've been with this church for a long time or been recently with us, you know my saying goes like this. If you want to be a Christian, I make it as simple as I can. Here's what a Christian is, you know. Oh, I shook the preacher's hand. Oh, I was baptized as a baby. I'm not going to make you a Christian, okay? You got to reach a point where you say something like this. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. Something along that line. Isn't that kind of saying, God, I'm fed up with the way I'm doing things. I'm owning to the part that I'm messed up. And I want to do it your way. So we need to own up to that fact that I do stupid stuff. I do crazy stuff. I do stuff I have regrets about. Anybody? You know, I've made some decisions that it's like, Gary, what were you thinking? You know? And we do, but we got to own it. Well, my wife made me do it. Anybody? My husband. My kids just drove me to it. You know, kids can drive you crazy. You know? My mom put my diaper on too tight. You know? Anybody ever hear excuses like this? You know, we got to own it. I'm messed up. And we need to come to that. He came to a sense. He said, I've sinned. I've messed up. It's me. But here's the thing. When you mess up, well, you got to understand, it puts a barrier between you and God. You ever felt like pray and it's like, it just bounced off the ceiling? Anybody ever feel like that? You know, you earnestly, your heart, and you sat down and you prayed and it's just like, it felt empty? Look at what it says. That your iniquities have a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. He doesn't hear. See, when you're praying and when you're far from God or when you've kind of drifted away, and like I say, sometimes it's just a matter of putting pause on. It's not that, well, I didn't do anything. You know, I didn't do something wrong. It's just I didn't do anything that God called me to do. It's amazing. I'm going to be honest. It's amazing. Well, I haven't felt God in a month. When's the last time you've been to church? A month. Get connection? Duh. You know what I'm saying? You know, and so that sin just puts this barrier in our life. And if we want to talk to God and we want to hear from God, we need to know God hasn't moved. We've moved. God's only as far away as you let yourself drift. Think about that. God's only as far away as you let yourself. He loves you. He cares for you. He's there for you. Look at the next verse I put down here. Come, let us talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins. I like that. Why don't you circle deep sin, stain of sins? I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Doesn't matter what. Well, how can, you know, I made some major mistakes in my life. I've really messed my life up. How deep? I wrote it this way. He's the OxyClean of sin. All right? You know, he's going to wash it as white as snow. He's going to take care of it. I love that picture. Well, you just don't know what I did. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what you did. God took care of it. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter what you think. God took care of it. Well, God can't forgive me of this. I'm going to tell you, God can forgive you of anything and everything. Because he's God. He has that unconditional love, that unconditional care for you. That's who God is. To me, the great picture of this love of God is seen in a guy named David. All right. Here's David, a man after God's own heart. Okay. That's what the scripture says. But then you read this, you know, you read the New, you know, most of us read the New Testament right before you read the Old. Anybody? You read the New Testament, and you read, come to the book of Acts, and you read a story. Here's a man named David, the great king of Israel. He's a man after God's own heart. Man, that sounds like a man I want to be like. Then you turn to the Old, reading about David. Oh, whoa. Killed Goliath. All right, yeah, great David, killer of Goliath. Awesome work, awesome work. You did what? You were on top of your house playing Peeping Tom? Watching a lady take a sunbath? And you had an affair with her? Committed adultery? Then you complicated it by murdering her husband? That's pretty deep sin, wouldn't you say? I mean, you know, if I was gonna rate sin, you know, that'd be, you know, murder would be kind of way up there, you know? And yet in Acts it says he's a man after God's own heart. How does that work? It works because Psalms 51. See, Psalms 51 is when he realized, I'm fed up with my life. I'm fed up, and I'm going to own up to my sin. I just put some of the verses here. Be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love. Because of your great mercy, wipe away my sins. Wash me all my evil. Wash away all my evil. Make me clean from all my sins. Now here, I recognize my faults. I'm owning up to what I did. I'm owning up to what I've said. I'm owning up to my behavior. I'm owning up. I'm always conscious of my sins. I have sinned you only against you and done what you consider evil. So you are right in your judging me. You are justified in condemning me. He came to that point when he owned up to it. This is why he's a man after God's own heart. Not because he was perfect. Not because he never made a mistake. But because in the midst of all that sin in his life, he came back to God. I'm going to tell you, you can get close to God wherever you've been. Anybody? No matter what you did, no matter what you said, no matter where you've traveled in life, you can draw close to God because he is a merciful God. But you've got to recognize that. I recognize my sin. He's got to own up to it. Look at what he says in verse 7. Purify me from my sin and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. He's just coming to God. So you've got to own up. But here's the challenge. Most of us just like to ignore it. Anybody? We just like to skip over those parts of our life. Anybody? You know, just kind of, that was a different point in my life. That was a different time. I've grown. I'm smarter now. So I'm going to challenge you with this during our 50 days of study, and especially this coming week. You need to test yourself. You need to stop and evaluate and test yourself. You need to kind of step back. And God's challenged us in these five areas, you know, whim and evangelism and discipleship and fellowship and ministry. God has these areas in life. And we need to sometimes take a spiritual survey. If you're in our book, you're going to find that spiritual health survey. In our book. Because sometimes we need to stop. Because see, sometimes we get so busy we can just kind of skip over. We just try to go around and bypass. It says this in the scripture in Corinthians. Test yourself to make sure you are solid in faith. Don't long taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. Why don't you underline that? Give yourself regular checkups. You need first-hand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. I like the way the Message Bible said that. You know, do a checkup. I've got to have a physical pretty soon. You know, my blood pressure medicine is getting low, so I got to go in and get a physical so she will renew my prescription. Anybody? I told you last year I'm 62. I told you that last year. I had to go have. Anybody want to give a testimony of a colonoscopy? You know, I had to have that. Well, I'm going to go get a checkup. I can't wait to do that one again. I'm going to tell you, this spiritual survey is a lot easier than a colonoscopy, okay? Just understand that, all right? I'm going to ask you to do a spiritual survey. But it's not, all right? You don't have to drink anything, all right? I'm not going to make you drink anything, you know? But you got to test yourself. You got to do a checkup. How am I doing, God? How's my walk with you, God? How's my worship? How's my discipleship, God? How's my Bible study? You know, how's my ministry, God? How am I serving you, God? You know, where am I involved in your ministry, God? You know, how's my fellowship? My church experience, God? You know, how's my evangelism? How am I doing, God, and being a good light, a good witness for you, God? See, we need to test ourselves. And I like that passage. It says, test yourself, and then if it don't test right, do something about it. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'll get blood work, and you know, they'll do all this stuff. And it's like, I need my blood pressure medicine. You know? I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to take my medicine. Now, we do this in our church, just so you know. I give you chances to do it. Matter of fact, some of us did this January 1st because we had church on New Year's Day, and we took the Lord's Supper, and we do what it says. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. So I know some of you do it, but I'm going to challenge you to do it regularly. You know, take some time to sit down and, how am I doing with God? How's it going? Check up with God. So you're going to be challenged. I got two things I'm going to challenge you with. That's one this morning, to do a spiritual checkup. You know, you're sitting there wondering about that relationship with God. Where is he at? I just don't feel like I used to feel. It's not where I used to be. Do a spiritual checkup. So you got to get fed up, and you got to own up, and then I put it this way, you got to offer up yourself. You got to offer up yourself. Totally, God, I'm fed up. I'm going to come to my senses. God, I'm going to own up. I've sinned against God and others. And then I'm going to offer myself up. All right? I want you to notice something. When he came to his father, he said, Father, give me my part. Give me my part of the inheritance. Now look how he says this later on in the story when he returns. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me. Why don't you circle that? Make me like one of your hired servants. What a change. You see a change? You see a transformation here? He went from this guy who's saying, give me, give me, give me, to a guy that's saying, make me. Make me one of your servants, God. I don't deserve to be called one of your sons. Make me. Make me. He's in the midst of a transformation. And I want to tell you something. This transformation doesn't happen overnight. Well, I became a Christian. I haven't sinned since. Anybody on that one? Yeah. I was sharing with someone not long ago. I can remember, like I said, I didn't become a Christian until I was 17. And I remember growing up, we had friends that didn't know how to cuss. Anybody? You know, I knew all those cuss words. I knew how to string them together well. You know, I understood the words, and I knew how to use them. And we had some friends of ours, and my brothers and I thought these guys were dumb because they didn't know how to use those words. You know, but I can remember after I became a Christian, and it's vivid in my mind, burned in my mind. I'm in my backyard at my house, and I was doing something. I don't know if I hit my thumb. I don't know what happened. But I had been a Christian not very long. It's a month, 6 months. I can't remember how long, but it hadn't been long. And I can remember when all of a sudden these words almost came up. I mean, they were right there on the tip of the tongue. And I said to myself, you know what? I just don't want to do that anymore. It was a process. God didn't change my, well, I accepted Christ, and you know what? It was from the very moment. But I can visually remember being in that. I can go tell you right where I was standing. I don't know why it's burned in my mind. But I can remember right where I was standing when I realized, you know what? I just don't want to talk like that anymore. Talk like that since. That's a lie. I'm still a sinner, guys. I'm sorry. But I don't want to. I'm in that Paul battle. Why do I do what I don't? And I don't want to. I get all confused with those eyes, that passage there in Romans 7. There's a great passage in Romans 7, you know. Paul's sitting there talking, why do I do what I don't want to do, and yet what I do, I don't do? And he gets all confusing with the eyes, but it's a good passage. Go to Romans 7. A little homework for you besides your daily devotionals. But see, we have to offer ourselves up. God, I don't want to be like that anymore. I'm fed up. I'm owning up, God, and I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want to be stressed. I don't want to be like I was, God. I'm tired of doing things my way, God. I want to do them your way, God. I'm offering myself up to God. And I'm coming back to God. Look at what it says. Because God is merciful to you, offer yourself a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Offer yourself a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your... Oh, that's right before our memory verse, isn't it? See, offer ourselves up to God. Offer our... And see, it's a process. I want to make sure you understand. I'm talking about a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's something that takes time to go through. Look at what it says. Luke. Well, I'm going to come to that in a minute. Let me do this first. So he returned home to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion, and ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. You see the picture? He had started this transformation process. You know, as I thought about this transformation process, I thought about a caterpillar. You got the little caterpillar. I can remember. I remember in my elementary school, when spring rolled around, the monarch butterflies. You remember monarch butterflies? I mean, they were everywhere back then. I don't see that many anymore. But a beautiful butterfly. There's a difference between a butterfly and a caterpillar. You step on caterpillars. Butterfly. Can you... It's a process. You think about that caterpillar turns into this rather awkward looking, maybe you might even say ugly, cocoon. It's in a process. But it turns out of that cocoon as a beautiful butterfly. Is that what God wants to do in us? When we offer ourselves up into this process, that God is taking that ugliness in our life and transforming it into something beautiful. Anybody want to have that in their life? All that garbage, all that trash, all that regret, the sinlessness, all that stuff in our life, and let God transform into a beautiful butterfly. See, and he's waiting for us. See, I want you to see this. And what's amazing, I read this. While he was still a long ways off. You know, God's not sitting there saying, well, come here. Come here. Come here. You ever do that to kids? I do. You know, your kids are coming towards you, and it's like, come on, you know, and you just tease your kids. God doesn't tease us. God sees you coming. Guess what? He runs to you. Isn't that what it says? He runs to you a long way off. God's not saying, well, when you clean up, come on over and I'll talk to you. Is that what God says? When you get your life all straight, when you figure everything out, you know, I'll be sitting here waiting on you. God's not waiting on you to knock on the door. Matter of fact, you read the scripture, God's knocking on your door right now. See, we just got to offer ourselves up. God's there waiting for us. You know, he's sitting there waiting. All we got to do is just turn. He wants to be close to you. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to have that feeling. He wants you to know your prayers are heard. He wants you to experience that love, that compassion, that grace, that mercy. He wants that for you. But you just got to turn. Look at what it says again. But the father to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. He said, I'm going to give him the best. God's going to clothe you with the best. Just like that beautiful. Monarch butterflies are beautiful. Anybody? And that's what God wants to do with all of us. More brighter and more beautiful in our lives. And he wants to do those in our lives. Look at what it says here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what God wants. That's what he wants to transform your life. See, some of you here this morning, you have a good life. Anybody here have a good life? You know, I got a pretty good life. You know, I do. But I want to tell you something else. There's also a better life. Did you know that? There's a lot of us that settle for good lives. You know, paying my bills, nice job, a home, kids, family, whatever it is, you know. I've got a good life. You know? But what I want to tell you something is, there's a better life out there. There's something about a peace that God gives when he dwells in your heart. Anybody can testify to that? Something about the failures turning into faith. Something about disappointment turning into joy. Something about struggles and battles finding peace. See, that's what God wants for us. That's what God has for us. See, God can transform those things. I want you to see this image. God has these plans, declares the Lord, prosper and harm you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what God wants. So how do you get back to God? How do you get back to that time? You get fed up. You own up. You offer up. And then here's my last one. You see it in the story. You lift up your praise to God. You lift up your praise to God. The father said this, we must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and he has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So let the party begin. I like that. It's a party time. It's a time to celebrate. We need to start celebrating. Those that have been in the church with me for some time, you know, I think the Christian life is fun. I want people to know that. Well, I'm going to become a Christian. I'm going to be depressed all my life. I can't go here. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't. Anybody see that as a Christian life? I'm telling you what, I'm having fun. Life is good. Matter of fact, life is even better with Jesus. You know how, that old song, you know, life goes better with Coke. Anybody? I'm going to tell you, life goes better with Jesus. Forget the Coke. You know, we're going to do our health valuation. You know, no more soda, okay? But I want to challenge you. You know, you got to lift up your praise. You got to lift up your praise. And one way to do that is to sing. Sing. Look at what it says. Sing to God. Sing praise to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt him. Exalt before him. There's something about singing. I've been, did I ever get depressed? And there's Christian song. I got Christian song. When I get, I'll go home and turn my computer on and go to a specific song. One of the songs I listen to, he knows my name. Because sometimes I feel like he don't know me. Or I feel like I don't. And so I'll play that. He knows my name. And there's songs like that. Because songs, man. But here's what I've discovered too. And I did some research this week. Did you know singing has a healing to you? I did some surveys here. I did some research here. And Time Magazine, not in 2013, said this. Article, singing changes your brain. Had an article in Time Magazine, singing changes your brain. When you sing, musical vibrations move through you, altering your physical and emotional landscape. Group singing, for those who have done it, is the most exhilarating and transforming of all. What do we do in church? We sing. Sing as a group because it is transforming. I read on in the article, the elation come from the endorphins, thank you. I told you I'm a jerk. Give me a break. A hormone, see, I got that word right. A hormone released by singing, which is associated with feelings of pleasure. Or it might be from the oxytocin, O-X-Y-T-O-C-I-N. Some of you guys, who's in the nursing program? Oxytocin, thank you guys. Another hormone released during singing, which has been found to alleviate anxiety and stress. There's that word again. Also enhances feelings of trust and bonding, which may explain why still more studies have found singing lessens feelings of depression and loneliness. It turns out you don't even have to be a good singer to reap the rewards. I highlight that in yellow, see. Because I was telling Linda this morning, I sing like a prisoner behind bars and I don't have a key. All right, I was telling Linda that, you know, I'm going to cultivate my singing. You need to plow it under, okay? You know, but I'm going to tell you, singing is good for you. You know, that's worship. When you sing to God, it blesses you. I dropped my notes. When you sing to God, it blesses you. There's something about, and it's just even making a joyful noise. You can watch the worship team. You watch these up here during the last song. And they're laughing at me. Because I'm standing here, and I'm having a good time. I'm afraid to turn around what you guys think about your past. Because I'm sitting there going, yeah, and I'm kind of, in video when you guys walked in, that's me. You know, I have no rhythm. I can't carry a tune. But I'm having fun because it ministers to me. It encourages me. It inspires me. I love, you don't know what's going on behind this. I have my little green room over here while they're out here singing. You know, you notice I don't sit in here. I'm out there partying, waiting to get my turn. You know, because that music just lifts your spirits. It does something in you. And you need to sing. You know, join the worship team, right? If you want to, you can join them. There's always room for more. You know, and there's just something about it. Now, if you sing like me, they won't let you, okay? But most of you sing much better than me, all right? But I do. I just have a great time because there's something about that praise. There's something about lifting up that voice, and it just something lifts in your spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know? Lift up your praise to God. You want to change your life. You want a transformation in your life. You want something different. You know, you're starting 2017 now. I'm still putting 16. I don't know about you guys. I still struggle to put 2017 down. You know? I want my life different. I'm tired. I'm fed up. I've had it. It's enough. I'm done. I'm lonely. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I can't win. You got all this stuff going on. You got to get fed up. Own up to being a mess. Okay? Owning a mess. And then give over to Him. You know, just go over to Him. And then lift up your praise. And you'll be transformed. So you know what we're going to do this morning? The same thing we always do. And I'm going to make sure I make the point this morning. We're going to sing an invitation. Because I want you to be transformed. I want you to walk out of here different than when you walked in. You might have walked in fed up. I'm glad you did. You're fed up. I'm fed up with my spouse. I'm fed up with my marriage. I'm fed up with work. I'm fed up with school. I'm fed up. Well, good. Now own up. Because you're as close to God as you want to be. You need to know that. If He's not there, you're the one that's moved. Own up. Just, God, it's me. And I'm a mess. But I'm owning up, God. I'm stepping back in. It might have been a year. It might have been 5 years. It may be you never crossed that invisible line. And God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. It might be just a week you had from hell and you're done. You're toast. And it's just like, ugh. We're going to sing a song. And I want to challenge you. Will you be transformed? It's your choice. You're as close to God as you choose to be. How close are you this morning? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you that you love us. You're that Father with your arms open wide. Just waiting for us to turn. You'll run to us, Lord. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you need God to run to you this morning. Maybe you're fed up. Maybe you've just had it. I don't know. It could be work. It could be family. Could be, I don't know what it is. You know. And you pray for you this morning. You're going to tell God, I'm fed up. Would you just shoot your arm up and let me pray for you? Thank you. I see that. Anyone else? I see another. Thank you. God, you've seen the hands of these that are fed up. They're tired of being tired. They're frustrated. They're stressed. The battles, the hurts, the wounds, they're fed up. Lord, I ask that your Spirit will step into their midst as we sing this song and encourage them. That it will be a day of transition. That it will be a day of change. That you will draw close to them because they're drawing close to you. That you'll run to them right now. And you'll put your loving arms around them. And you'll clothe them with a robe not stained with red, but stained with white. The blood of Jesus Christ that has washed the stain away. And that you'll clothe them. You'll encourage their heart. You'll inspire their spirit. And they may feel your presence once again in a new and a fresh way. As I pray for these, I pray for others, Lord, who need to accept you. Who've gone through life and there's this invisible line and they just never have stepped across it. And today's a day that they need to step across. That right now where they sit, they'll pray simply, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my heart and take control. I'm just fed up. I'm owning up. Now I'm offering myself up. And now I'm going to praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for coming to us and not waiting till we arrive. In Jesus' name. Amen.